Good evening, brethren. What a blessed privilege to be in God's house and to be with you and to have the privilege to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So love all of you and the folks here at Sturgeon Creek and you brethren from sister churches. Love you all so very much and so glad to see you. Glad to be here. Glad to worship. We did have a wonderful time of worship last night. Brother Lee Price was blessed of God to preach the Chambers, thank you. Brother Lee Price, he's a good one too. Brother Lee Chambers, he was blessed of God. And I wanted to say that, you know, this is a three-night meeting, three different services, three different preachers. And I have never, and I don't guess other preachers do it either, but I've never called my brethren and said, you know, what you going to preach on, and let's all preach on the same thing. I've never done that. But Brother Lee preached last night about our Lord and Savior, as Brother Philip said, and the rock having been smitten for us, and the water from that rock, and it just fit in with what was on my mind and what is on my mind. This topic I selected, hopefully with the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, I pray for that, several days ago, and I certainly hadn't talked to Brother Lee, but that's how God works. He sees all, He knows all, He knows the end from the beginning. Of the 66 books in the Bible, you know, sometimes I think, well, I'm going to preach second or third, I wonder if they're going to pick my text that I've got, and it's never happened that they did, but I've thought several times, if that does happen, I'm probably just going to preach it again anyway, because you can't exhaust it, can you, Brother Philip, brethren? Can't exhaust it. But I do bless God for having us think along the same lines. Brother Lee, I think Brother Lee said this last night, that the whole Bible is about our Lord and Savior anyway, Old and New Testament. And I was reading several days ago in the book of Romans. I want us to go to Romans this evening, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, you're all familiar with it. You know that the doctrines of grace are there. And I didn't select it because it's a good chapter to go to in a meeting. It's a wonderful place. But I was reading in my daily reading, I have a chart I go by, a schedule of reading the Bible, and I don't know, a week or a week and a half ago, I was reading these verses, and they stood out to me, so I've saved them. I've gone on further reading, but I saved them. I made a note of them, and every day or so, I would go back and read them again and make some mental notes and some notes about them. And so I would like us tonight to look at three verses in the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 32 through 34. Romans 8, 32 through 34. The Word of God says, brethren, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Romans 8, 32 through 34. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray audibly, and I ask you, brethren, to please to pray along as I pray, and ask God to open His Word to me and you, and to enable us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this meeting house. Thank you for the scheduled meeting. Thank you for your felt presence yesterday, last night. Thank you for blessing Brother Lee. Thank you, Father, for coming to meet with us last evening and opening your word to us and blessing Brother Lee to preach it. For the thoughts that we've had during that worship service and following, meditating on your word and the truth, that you revealed in us through Brother Lee. We give you praise for it, O God. I pray, Lord, that we have grown in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior through worship in this place. I ask you again now, O God, to bless me, to rightly divide your word. O God, come again by your Spirit, please, and bless us. Make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we beg. Help me to say the right thing, to rightly divide your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My strength and my Redeemer, our strength, our Redeemer. O God, get honor and glory from him. Bless us, Father, as a people. Bless the Church of Jesus Christ, we pray. Establish her, Lord. Strengthen her. Grow her. O God, may we study your word as we ought. May we present our bodies as living sacrifices, O God, which you tell us is only our reasonable service. O God, help us. Help every church represented, we pray, and help us tonight as brethren in Christ to give you honor and glory due your name. May we learn from your word. May we rejoice in it and the work of Christ Jesus, the finished work and the ongoing work of his intercession for us. Thank you again, O God, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Forgive our sins, please, individually, Lord, and as a nation. Forgive us and have mercy, we pray. Amen. Brother Lee preached so ably last night by the help of the Spirit of God, and I rejoiced in everything that he said. He preached Christ Jesus as the rock of God, and God said, he told Moses to go and stand on the rock, and he said, you're going to strike the rock, and water's going to come forth, and that water did come forth. Moses obeyed, and the children of Israel were without natural water at that time. They were in the wilderness, and they were murmuring and complaining against God, a merciful and kind and gracious God. And he continued to be kind and gracious to them and furnishing them the natural water so that they wouldn't die. And Brother Lee very ably drew the parallel of Christ Jesus being our rock. And we're in a waste, howling wilderness and desperate. And how Christ Jesus is smitten for us, how the living water is given to us and for us, and how it refreshes us and blesses us. And so I want to preach to you this evening about our Lord and Savior and his work in that regard. Brother Lee painted a picture from the Old Testament, and Paul the Apostle writes now about that same Lord and Savior, but his work of redemption having been finished, and how we are justified in the sight of a holy God by the work of our Lord and Savior, that rock that was struck for us. I'd like to read the verses again now, and then I'm going to go back, God willing, and go to verse 32 and just comment on each of the three verses, Lord willing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I came in that door this evening and began to greet you all and say hello and listen to you as you spoke with others. There was an air of joy here in this sanctuary. There was elation in the voices of you seeing one another and being in God's house. We have much to be joyful about, brethren. The name of Jesus, the choir sang about that name that's so lovely. We sang, Blessed Be the Name. When I was a little boy, I was made to go to church every Sunday and didn't particularly want to go, but I had to go. There was no negotiating at our house about that. Daddy was a deacon and my granddaddy was a preacher for a while and just no getting out of it. But after going and singing the songs of Zion and hearing them sung, I decided on two favorites. You know, they mean a lot more to me today than they did then, but they must have been something special to me because I remember telling my mom or maybe somebody in my family, here's my two favorites. One of them was, Blessed Be the Name. It starts out, oh, I wish I had 1,000 tongues to sing. That's not the word for word, but that's what he's saying, isn't it? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing the glories of my God and King. I think that I somewhat understand that expression today. I think back in when maybe I was 8 or 10 years old and that was became my favorite. I don't know how much I understood about that. Not nearly what I understand now, but I hope as I get older, I'll understand it even better and love it even more. The other one was, that was number 175, by the way, in the Pilgrim's Hymnal. That's what we sung from. And then the other one was 255, At the Cross. And that's a good one too, isn't it? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? I don't know how many hymnals that's in these days in various churches or denominations, but we're just worms of the dust is what we are, low and sinful. But he devoted his sacred head for us. He that spared not his son. I read this verse days ago, and last night when Brother Lee stood up to preach the word and talk about how God allowed, actually it was in his determinate counsel, he didn't just allow it, brethren, he foreordained it. He set it up to come to pass. Brother Lee said in different words, God spared not his son. Same truth. He said to Moses, you strike that rock, Moses. You go ahead. Because the striking of that rock, brethren, means salvation to us. He delivered him up for us. I'd like to take each phrase and maybe single words and just comment on them. He, that's God. That's the one Brother Lee preached about last night, God the Father. He spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses, God the Father did, and told him to strike, figuratively, the Son. He spared not his own Son. God so loved us that he smote his Son for us. He laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah says. God that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. He delivered him up. I think I was quoting it to myself last night when Brother Lee called it out. Acts chapter 2. He started to quote it and then he said, no, I want to turn to it. I know exactly that feeling. Acts chapter 2, these words of Simon Peter preaching that mighty sermon on the day of Pentecost describe God delivering him, his son, up. Chapter 2, him being delivered, there's that word, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's it. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I've done that exact same thing Brother Lee did last night. I started to quote it and I said, no, I want to make sure I get it. And it was the same verse. I want to get it just right. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. You know it. You know that he did it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He was crucified. He was smitten. The rock was struck, brethren, for us. He, God the Father, spared not his son, but delivered him up for us. For us all. There's another word there in that phrase, says all. Every single child of God who's ever lived, who now lives, who will ever live, Jesus was delivered up for him and her. Not one shall perish or be lost. His blood has bought them, dear they cost. That's in that hymn, Long Ere the Sun Began His Days. Or moon shot forth her silver rays. Salvation scheme was fixed. 'Twas done in covenant by the three in one. Brother Lee said last night that before the earth was created, in the foreknowledge of God, it was decided. The plan was put into place. It was executed when the rock was smitten. It was executed when Jesus was nailed to the cross. It was executed and completed when he said, "It is finished," as Brother Lee said last night. He was delivered up for us all. All of us. All of us. God delivered Jesus up to the hands of wicked men freely. Jesus consented to it. He went freely. We just celebrated Easter. Maybe your pastor read to you where Jesus was being arrested and Simon Peter pulled his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said, "Put your sword up." I'm paraphrasing. "The cup my Father gives me, shall I not drink it? I came to do my Father's will." Prior to that, he said, "I came down from heaven to do not my will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus freely came and freely went. "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I lay it down of myself." John 10:18, I believe it is. God delivered him up for us all. You know the 8th chapter of Romans is just packed full of doctrine, isn't it? Full of doctrine. First half or so of the letter to Rome is to Roman believers is doctrine. And the second half is practical, putting it to use, practical Christian living. So here's the doctrine. God gave up his only son for all of us. Now the rest of that verse is, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Your joy, when I came into the sanctuary, your joy, brethren, and your reason for being here tonight is that God gave up his son freely. He delivered him for you. And you're saved. You're bought with a price. Redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's how you're redeemed. The only way you're redeemed, the only thing that'll redeem you, is the blood of Christ. But he also gives us, brethren, it says here, shall he not... rhetorical question. Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The free gift of salvation is given to us, brethren. It's given to us through Jesus Christ. Christ gave himself freely. God gave his son freely. Eternal life is free. His blood for forgiveness of sin. And in this world, he gives us blessings day by day. Communion with him. This is one of the blessings right here now, this side of the eternal heaven that he gives us. Some are missing it this evening. I don't know who, but some may have said, "I don't feel like going. I don't want to go." They miss a blessing. What a blessing I received last night. What a blessing I received standing here, being with you. Brother Philip, as he said during about the song service, we get to sit here and we get to see you. We get to see you singing the words, the hymns of Zion. We get to hear it. We get communion with him this side of the eternal heaven. We get to experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost as we live, as we obey him, as we walk the narrow way that leads to life, abundant life in this world. What a blessing that is. There's more than just eternal. I say just eternal salvation. That sounds like an understatement, doesn't it? I'm not minimizing it. But we have that in daily blessings too, brethren. With him, with the gift of Christ, brethren, through the gift of Christ, we have eternal salvation. But we also have, brethren, with Christ as our good shepherd, as our lead, as our guide, as our blessing, we have him, communion with him. We have communion with His saints. I think I've been in every single one of the churches that are represented here, probably many times. I've grown to know you and I've grown to love you. And I love communion with you. I love it. Love you. That's a blessing. That's a thing that He gives us, brethren. Praise God for that. He gives us the blessing of sitting in heavenly places in worship. And He daily loads us with benefits. His mercies are new morning by morning, are they? They're new every day. They're new. They're new. I told somebody the other day, God gets better all the time. And he or she didn't understand the context of it. They said something like, God doesn't get any better. I said, oh, yes, He does to me. I realize He's better. It's what I mean. I realize that He's better. He doesn't technically get any better, but in my mind, He's better to me all the time. He's better to me all the time. I think I've told you, my dad lived to be 93, and I would get with him once in a while, and he couldn't express it, only just a grunt. He'd say, That's what he'd say. He'd say, the Lord is so good. He just, And over and over, he'd say that. Because God was getting better to him all the time. His goodness and His mercy follows us all the days of our lives. God, with Christ, freely gives us those things through Him and with Him. If we'll seek, brethren, first that kingdom, this side of the eternal heaven, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about to Pilate, He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If we'll seek that kingdom that's above this world, above the things of this world, seek it first, He'll freely give us the kingdom. Fear not, in Luke, Jesus says, fear not, little flock. Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think that's pretty much word for word. A preacher said one time, I was listening to him, and he said, Jesus said, little flock, because not that many get to experience it. They're saved. God spared not His own Son, but they don't get to experience kingdom living here because their mind is on the things of the world. Mine too many times. But I have to consciously say, I'm going to seek the kingdom. I'm going to seek things above today or this hour. And God freely gives it when I do right. Okay, so there's that verse. Here's another doctrinal point, brethren. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Love that. God's elect. Since I met Jan, she was introducing me to some friends and of hers, and one of them, she told him I was a preacher, and we got to talking a little bit about the Word of God, and something came up about election. He kind of smirked a little bit and said, oh, you one of those who believes in the elect? I said, yeah, yes, sir, I am. I sure am. And I hope we have another conversation. That ended the conversation, but I hope we'll get another chance to talk before it's over, before I die or he does. The elect, brethren, that's us. That's the us in verse 32. God delivered him up for us. That's us, the elect. That's those, brethren, that's those who Paul is listing, describing in verse 29, those whom God foreknew from before the foundation of the world, God knew us. Not by works of righteousness that we would do, not by any merit of our own, but by His sovereign will. A sovereign, God is sovereign, brethren. He calls the shots, and I'm so glad He does. I don't resent that one bit. I don't think that's a bit unfair. You go ahead, Lord, and you call the shots. You call the shots for me eternity-wise, and you call the shots for me day by day. Somebody last night, I think it might have been Brother Paul, was praying. He said, choose our changes for us. Didn't you say that, Brother Paul? I think you did. Somebody, whoever was praying. My daddy used to pray that. I've heard his daddy, my granddaddy, say, Lord, choose my changes for me. You're sovereign, so I'm going to serve you. And if the change is a loss or a gain or just any kind of change, you call it, God. whom he did foreknow, that's us, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. You and I are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus one day. Because, and only because, brethren, he shed his blood for you. Because God the Father chose you in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he called you, verse 30, he called you, brethren, with the effectual call. Oh, he calls me a lot of days to serve him, and sometimes I don't answer. Like my children when they were little, I'd call them and they wouldn't answer. I didn't let that happen very often. And God doesn't let that happen too much with me either. And I thank him for it. But brethren, when he called me from death to life, I came from death to life. That's called the effectual call. It has an effect. Sometimes I'd call my children, it didn't have much effect. But brethren, when God calls us from death to life, we come. We come to life. It's in Ezekiel, I think it says, I passed by you and I said, live. Oh, how pretty that is. And whom he called, brethren, that's us, he justified. Justified, more on that in a minute. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We get a little taste, brethren, of glorification in here tonight. And last night, I got a taste of it. But I'll be fully glorified, brethren, when my body, my corruptible body, puts on incorruption. I'll be glorified fully. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The predestinated, the called, the living from the dead. It is God that justifieth. What a wonderful statement that is. It is God that justifieth. Brethren, it was God that was sinned against. It was God that we fell away from. It was God whose holy law was violated. So it was him, brethren, that had to be satisfied, that we had to be justified before a holy God. It was God Almighty who was sinned against. It was his law that was violated. Paul says, because of the work of Jesus Christ, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I study a commentary called John Gill's commentary. And the brethren at Sturgeon Creek know that I like to quote. I like to give them quotes from John Gill. Here comes one. It's a little bit long, but stay with me. It's wonderful. Paul asked the question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen to this surprising answer. Are these persons chargeable with nothing criminal, he says? Talking about that's us. He's talking about us. Are we chargeable with nothing criminal? Yes, he says, yes. Paul says, who's going to charge us with anything? Gill says, we most certainly are, with Adam's sin. Paul says plainly, in Adam all die. With a lack of original righteousness. We were unrighteous before a holy God. Yeah, we're chargeable with that. With multitudes of sin before conversion. I think it was at my ordination, I got asked some questions. The preacher showed up and they began to ask me questions. And they said, one of the things, first thing they said, Brother Mike, give us a, I don't know how they said it, but in other words, tell us about your experience and your salvation experience. And I started off with telling them about my multitudes of sin before conversion. And I said, tell you the truth, brothers, I don't know if when the Lord changed me, I don't know if that was when he born me again or if that was or what that was. And Brother Ronnie Webb, you know Brother Ronnie, he smiles all the time, kind of bobs his head. He said, Brother, I'd call that conversion. I told him, I said, I got on the right track for a change. And Brother Ronnie said, Brothers, I'd call that. This man was converted at that point. Gill says, we're chargeable with multitudes of sin before conversion. And I certainly was chargeable with that. And also, after conversion, he says, I didn't stop sinning, brethren, when I was converted. I slowed down, thank God for that. But I still do. And also, after conversion, with frequent infirmities, Gill says, and backslidings. Can you identify with that? And Gill says, and will none rise up and exhibit charges against them? He says, is nobody going to charge such people? Yes, he says. Well, listen to this now. It gets better. They very often bring charges against themselves. You ever do that? I do. Well, the Holy Spirit, I guess, does it. But the Holy Spirit demonstrates to me, you, Brother Mike, are chargeable. Why'd you do that? Shouldn't have done that. They very often bring charges against themselves. They are very apt to charge one another. How about that? Yep. We charge one another, don't we? Satan, the accuser of the brethren, lays many things to their charge very frequently. And so do the men of the world. What do the men of the world say? When we stumble, when we sin, and they know it. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? Thought you were a Christian. Oh, now listen. But all these charges avail nothing, since none of the divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, lay anything against them. Because our sins, brethren, have been atoned for by the blood of Christ. Not God the Father, for it is God that justifieth. There's verse 33. God that justifieth. Whom he did predestinate, moreover he called, and whom he called, he justified. He against whom sin is committed justifies them, us, from every charge by, and get this, brethren, this is so pretty, by pronouncing them righteous through the imputation of the righteousness of his Son. Justification is more than one thing, but the best, my favorite part of justification is it's a pronouncement. It's a statement of God. It's a pronouncement of God saying, you are just before me. What a beautiful thing. The rock that was smitten for us, out came the sinless blood of Christ, and it cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and it made us just before God. Forever. In full. Forever. That's the end of the quote. It is God that justifies. Who lays anything to your charge? Nobody. Let your brother in Christ lay it on you. Let the world lay it on you. Let Satan lay it on you. As long as God sees you as just, brethren, don't worry. But don't sin, brethren, just so, Paul says in another place, should we sin so that grace can abound? Oh, no. Now, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn us? Well, without Christ, we're all condemned. We're all condemned to an eternity separated from God. But with Christ, brethren, smitten for us, brethren, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's this same chapter, verse 1. Starts off in this chapter with that. Who is he that condemneth? Paul had already written, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ died that we couldn't, should not, would not be condemned. Last night, Brother Lee cited the book of Hebrews where Christ died once. He said, he didn't die a second time. One time did it. And you know what the Word of God says, brethren? When we knowingly sin, we who've been called, predestinated, justified, and are being glorified, when we willfully sin, we're smiting the rock again. Brother Lee said last night that Moses, that second time, you remember that God said, speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock, and Brother Lee said it cost him the promised land. He was very careful to say it didn't cost him heaven, and he demonstrated that by saying, because when Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, Moses was there. He came from heaven. He and Elijah. The law and the prophets, that's what they represented, some say. Anyway, they were there. He says, Moses didn't miss the eternal heaven, brethren, but he missed the promised land. And when you and I, brethren, when we sin willfully, we miss the kingdom of heaven here. It's a narrow gate that leads to life. It's a struggle. Through much tribulation we enter in, through much self-denial. But oh, brethren, the blessings await. Christ offered himself, Brother Lee cited this verse last night, it's one of my favorite. Christ offered himself without spot one time to God. He made one offering for sin. So brethren, don't strike the rock. It's been stricken already. Don't do it again. Don't sin willfully after we've come to a knowledge of the truth, after we know what's right and what's wrong. Don't do that. Crucify the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He says in the next chapter, in chapter 12, verse 1. Who is he that condemneth? No one. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, he gets better, that is risen again. We just celebrated that, didn't we? But we don't stop there. The next Sunday after Easter, I did the sunrise service here. And then the next Sunday, I was preaching somewhere. And I continued on with the resurrection message. And I think there was one more Sunday after that. I continued on with it. And I think that's all the Sundays. But I want to continue on with it. And here I am preaching Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. I listened to a preacher sometimes on the radio. I can't think of his name right now. But he said when he was a young preacher, he preached a sermon and he preached the crucifixion of Christ. And he ended it there. And he said one of the people in the service came to him. He was a young preacher. And he said the older gentleman came to him and said, "Brother, you made a..." He's Irish or Scottish, I think so. And he had some expression. You made a something another mistake. And the young preacher said, "What was that?" And he said, "You left Jesus in the grave." Just making the point. He's obviously not there, is he? And Paul notes that, brethren. Paul sees the importance of that. It is Christ that died, so we're not condemned, but rather, he's risen. He's risen again. Those two men on the road to Emmaus, on the resurrection day, that Jesus joined them, and they didn't know it was Jesus, and they were sad and downcast, and they didn't know what to make of all these reports they were getting about the empty tomb and the women seeing the empty tomb and coming back and telling the apostles, and they went and saw it too, but they didn't know what to make of it. And they said, "You know, we thought it was him that was going to redeem Israel." And they're talking to Jesus, the risen Lord, the whole time. It is he that is risen again. They, when they see Jesus for who he is and what he's done, they get up from that place where they were in Emmaus and they go back to Jerusalem. It's about 7 miles. I think it was at nighttime because it was late in the day when Jesus revealed himself to them and said they headed on back to Jerusalem. They, you know what he told the apostles? "The Lord is risen indeed." But what a blessed event and doctrine here that Jesus has died but is risen again, and he's even at the right hand of God. God raised him up after laying on him the iniquity of us all. Here's a quote from Gill. "When he rose from the dead, he was justified and acquitted from all our sins that were laid on him." Isaiah 53 says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the Apostle Paul says in the Corinthian letter, I think it's the second one, I'm not sure, "He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus was made to be sin for us. He knew no sin. He committed no sin. Not born in sin. Committed no sin. But he's made to be sin. But Gill says, "When Jesus rose from the dead, he was justified and acquitted from them all." He paid the price. He satisfied. Brother Lee said last night that in Rome, when a person was in debtor prison and the debt was paid, when he got out of prison, he was given a paper to put on his door that said the debt had been satisfied. Made me think of the blood that was put on the doorpost of the Israelites back in Egypt, that the debt's going to be paid in time, but in the mind of God, it's paid here because the angel is going to pass over and not judge it for your sins. That debt, brethren, has been paid. God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, but when he rose from the dead, he was justified and acquitted from them all. He's now at the right hand of God. Christ dying showed that he was arrested and condemned, but his resurrection shows that he is discharged, and we with him. That's a quote from Gill there. The empty tomb, I've said this to the folks at Sturgeon Creek every Easter that I was here. The empty tomb is the conclusive evidence, brethren, that God is satisfied, was satisfied, is satisfied with the offering of Christ. He offered himself without spot to God, says the Hebrew writer. And the empty tomb is conclusive evidence, proof, that God accepted that offering of Jesus. Jesus offered himself, brethren, by the way, to God. You hear a lot that he offers himself to you. He offers himself to you. Just accept him. Oh, brother. He offered himself to God for me, and I'm so glad that he did. Because I have nothing to offer, brethren. Nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Hold on to it. Because that's the salvation. He is at the right hand of God. God's given him a name above every name. He's at the right hand of God. That shows a place of prominence, a place of acceptance, a place of fellowship, a distinguished place. Where are we going to sit? When I go to a dinner and there's lots of tables, I look. I don't rush to a table. I look around and see where I'm going to sit. Where do I want to sit? Oh, brethren, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He's at a place of prominence. And he is there making intercession for us. When he saved us from our sins, brethren, he rose again. He ascended back to heaven. And he now there, at this moment, he is making intercession for us, for you and for me. I struggle with this concept of how can I express that? Good enough, just like it is. But I know that Jesus, somebody said once, a preacher on the radio that I listened to, he said, we pray to God through Jesus in the Spirit. I think that's a good statement. But I don't want to say it like this. I don't want to say that when I sin, Jesus has to remind the Father that he died for me. Because God knows everything. It's like it's instant and it's occurring all the time. Jesus is there interceding. And, you know, we can only couch it in human terms, our finite minds. We can only describe it like that. But it's bigger than that. But Jesus, brethren, is interceding for us. He's, in a sense, he's hearing our prayer. He's presenting them to God. He's maybe amening our prayers. Maybe he's saying, God, Father, give him this blessing. You remember when Jesus was praying before he went to the cross, he prayed to the Father for his disciples, and he said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray for them. He's praying for us, I believe, brethren. Similar to that. He's ever interceding to the Father for his children. There's a fairly contemporary song with those words in it. He's ever interceding to the Father for his children. He saved us. God the Father allowed him to be smitten. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. God raised him up. He justified him. He's the justifier. He's just and the justifier of every one of us. And he's now interceding. That's the rock, brethren. That's him. I'll just say like Elder McKinley Wright says, oh, I wish I could preach it as pretty as it is. That's all I can say. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for blessing us to be together this evening and read the scriptures. And I pray, Lord, that I've rightly divided them. Add your blessing, oh God, as Brother Philip said when he read the 100th Psalm. Enter into your courts with praise. Make a joyful noise to God. May we do that, O Lord, now and as we depart this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If the Spirit of God's moving you to unite with the Church of Jesus at this time, this church or any of your home churches, you have that privilege to do so as we stand and sing this final hymn.